Acts chapter 5. But remember, we just talked about in chapter 4 how the church in Jerusalem, the congregation there, was doing really well. They were doing everything that the Lord's church should be doing. They were out teaching and preaching and spreading the gospel. And they were helping each other out, making sure that none of their own had any needs. And if they did, they would help each other out. But, like I said, as in every group, even in the Lord's church, there are good and there are bad. And this is an example of a couple of bad apples. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being informed of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, there was absolutely nothing wrong with what they had done. It was perfectly fine for them to sell a piece of land and agree between them how much they would give to the church. They could give it all, they could give half, they could give 25%, whatever they decided. It was theirs to do with what they wanted. The problem is, they decided to lie about it. They decided to go to the apostles and say, we've sold this piece of land for such and such money, and we're giving 100% of the proceeds of that sale to the church. Look at us, how wonderful we are. That is what they did wrong. They lied about it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Now, of course, that's a figure of speech. Satan didn't have anything to do with it, literally. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? In other words, it was yours. You could have given as much as, or as little as you wanted to the church. It was up to you. But you lied about it. You tried to make it sound like you'd given 100% to the church. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Just a quick side note here. He says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then he says, you've not lied to men, but to God. That's just another place to show somebody that the Holy Spirit and God, same thing. Holy Spirit is God. And hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died. And great fear came on all those who heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. So this is the first case that we see of church discipline. So the church had just begun. This is the church in Jerusalem. And you had a couple of members who are lying. They're sinning against God. They're lying. And God decided to make an example of them. Now, we certainly do not practice capital punishment in the church today. We have absolutely no authority to do that. I tend to think that God maybe did this to nip it in the bud. Because again, this was the beginning of the church. And you've already got a couple of liars in the church. I think God probably wanted to set an example of who was in charge. And it was about 3 hours afterward when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So she didn't know that her husband had died and was buried. So apparently he didn't get a funeral. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. So she knew about the lie. She agreed to the lie. And she lied straight to Peter's face. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Then she immediately fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, they buried her by her husband. And great fear came on all the church, and on as many as heard these things. Now, again, this, as far as I can think, this is the only example that we have of the church, of church discipline being immediate death. Again, we have no authority whatsoever to do that. This was from God. God is the one that did this. He struck these two people dead right there on the spot to show right up front that being a member of the Lord's church is a serious thing. You don't go in there and become a member of the Lord's church and then start lying. And many signs and wonders were worked by the hands of the apostles among the people. So again, the apostles are continuing to teach and preach and spread the word, and doing so with the confirmation of miracles. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and none of the rest dared join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Not entirely sure what this means. It makes it sound like people kind of kept a respectful distance away from the apostles, especially after what had just happened with Ananias and Sapphira. So maybe they were just kind of keeping their distance, but were completely amazed seeing the power of God working through these men. And more believers were added to the Lord, so you have more people obeying the gospel of Christ. Multitudes of both men and women, to such an extent that they brought out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. A multitude also came out of the cities all around Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and those who were afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, about Peter's shadow, did Peter's shadow actually heal them? I don't know. They may have thought that. They may have thought of, well, I could just get my sick relative or whatever just in Peter's shadow. I don't want to get too close to Peter because I'm a little bit scared of him. But if his shadow could just hit my relative or my friend, you know, maybe he'll be healed. I don't know if that actually happened or not. It doesn't say, really. But it does say they were all healed. So the apostles took care of all these people. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. Here we go again. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So they grabbed them again, they threw them in prison. But by night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." They have three words in that verse circled: go, stand, speak. I just think that's a great attitude for a Christian to have. Go, stand, or be firm, and speak. We are to do that today. We are to go, and we are to stand, and we are to speak to people about the gospel of Christ, and get anyone who we can to listen. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and began to teach. But the high priest and those who were with him came and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Truly, we found the prison shut securely and the keeper standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no man inside. They've disappeared. They've disappeared from the prison." Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they were uncertain about them as to what would grow from this. I wasn't really sure, okay, what's going on? These men that we threw into this prison have disappeared. We don't know what kind of ramifications that's going to have. Then one came and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people, doing exactly what you told them not to do." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. So I'm sure they wanted to kill these men on the spot. But even politicians know when they should be scared of the people, because the people will only let you rule them for as long as they want, and then no more. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. You're going out teaching all this stuff about Jesus, and you're trying to blame us for killing him. We told you not to do that." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought," and that's not a suggestion. Ought is really should be obligated. We are obligated to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, so this is another teaching opportunity for them. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. You guys killed the Son of God. God has exalted him with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Again, they're being arrested, they're being interrogated, and what do? Hey, here's another teaching opportunity. Let's preach to them the gospel of Christ. Let's preach to them about Jesus. When they heard it, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in reputation among the people, stood up and commanded to put the apostles out for a little time and said to them, so he got up, he said, "Let's get the apostles out of here for a minute. Let's talk about this, guys." And he said to them, "Men of Israel, be careful about what you intend to do concerning these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. He was slain, and as many as obeyed him, all were scattered and brought to nothing." She says, be careful. Let's not turn these men into martyrs. We know that these guys pop up every now and then. You know, they pop up, they start spouting their doctrine, they get followers to follow them for a while, but then when they die, it all just kind of disperses. Their followers just kind of, you know, go back into their little holes or whatever. So he's given an example. He's going to give another example. "After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all were dispersed, even as many as obeyed him." Here's a couple of examples of men, you know, kind of rising up and getting people to follow them, whatever their doctrine is. But then when they die, it turns into nothing, you know. Their little cult just sort of fades into the background. "And now I say to you, refrain from these men and leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work is of men, it will come to nothing." Leave them alone. If it's no big deal, they'll eventually just fade away because their leader is dead. So just leave them alone. Don't turn them into martyrs or anything. "But if it is of God," if this actually is from God, which did Gamaliel really believe that, not believe that, or just wasn't sure? I'm not sure. "But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest perhaps you may even be found fighting against God." So if this is just men's nonsense, don't worry about it. They'll just fade away into history. "But if this is from God, you can't beat it. You can't fight against God. Don't even try." And they agreed with him, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Nothing is stopping these guys from spreading the gospel. Not even getting beaten. Not even getting thrown into prison for doing nothing wrong. So, this is the apostles continuing on with their mission. You know, their leader has gone back to heaven. Their leader had told them, look, you're going to be left here on the earth to continue my mission. But I am going to give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you, and he will help you with your mission. And that's exactly what's happening. They used the keys of the kingdom that Jesus had given them, opened the doors of the church, got it going, and it is well on its way. There are so far thousands, several thousand members of the Lord's church in various congregations in various locations. And that is Acts chapter 5.